It's a story that's brought tensions and even violence to different parts of the American South. Attempts to rethink the veneration of Confederate-era icons have brought into the light long-hidden racist and even supremacist convictions. The fact that a number of our fellow Americans have been living with these kinds of beliefs may be shocking to many. I know the story we broadcast a few weeks ago regarding torch-carrying alt-white protesters in Virginia was so powerful precisely because it was so unexpected. Here in Louisiana, it's the state legislature that's been pushing back against attempts to reduce the visibility of Confederate heroes. But whoever it is, there are overtones of religious fervor to these reactionary campaigns. I'm grateful to be able to talk about this today with my good friend, Dr. Pearson Cross, a university professor, dean, and former head of the political science department, all at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Pearson, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Is this growing racism, do you think, or is it just a new openness around long simmering alt-white convictions?
I think this is kind of a new openness, and I think it's an issue that I think it was starting to be papered over a little bit, and then Donald Trump and some other people have managed to scratch that scab and break it open again, and particularly around the immigration issue and the issue of who is and who is not an American. So now people feel emboldened to come forward with these kind of attitudes, which before they tended to keep to themselves or to people that they were very sure were felt the same way they did.
I wonder if some of it is a kind of release from the Obama administration in which to try and be somewhat decent, people hid their racism.
Yeah, we saw a lot of this with Obama. You wouldn't come out directly, or it was considered bad form to come out directly and oppose Obama on the basis of his race or the idea that non-white Americans were taking over what was clearly perceived to be as a white America. So that came out in other ways. But now that veneer seems to be gone quite clearly with Donald Trump, you know, white male in the White House. It's kind of become okay to be just as non-PC as you want to be. It's seen as an expression of your personal freedom to be racist.
I'm sure there are a lot of people listening to us that are not aware of all that's gone on in New Orleans in the last several months regarding the Confederate monuments there and removing them from the streets of New Orleans. Would you talk just a little bit about that?
The monuments were mostly erected in the late 19th century, in the 1800s. So the Battle of Liberty Place obelisk, which is perhaps the most racist symbol that was down there, went up in 1891 and then had a white supremacist statement attached to it in 1932. Statue of Robert Lee went up in what used to be Tivoli Circle, became Lee Circle in 1884. So this late 19th century move to kind of resuscitate the Confederate cause and the creation of the lost cause, the idea that there was a noble cause that the Southerners were fighting for and pushing back against an overreaching and tyrannical national government. So these statues are kind of the expression of that, and they've been irritating gradually over the years. New Orleans changed from a majority white to a majority black city. Statistically, New Orleans is about 66% African American. With that has come some newfound kind of consciousness that, wait a minute, we have monuments to Confederates here, and specifically white supremacist Confederates, monuments to moments when a white militia was out literally oppressing black citizens or killing them. And so there's been a lot of disgruntled talk about that. But the real catalyst, I think, was Dylann Roof and that unleashing the hatred that he unleashed in that African Methodist Episcopal Church. That really, I think, motivated people in New Orleans and elsewhere to say, look, we've got to do something about these symbols of hate that we've got around, and we've got to make a firm statement to say this has no place in our city. And I think from that point on, Mitch Landrieu, the white mayor of New Orleans, very courageously and rightly took up the cause to remove those statues, which were finally, after quite a bit of debate, the city council voted to remove them 6-1. And then they finally did come down, and now they're all down and awaiting final disposition.
You know, and I know that a lot of the arguments of those who really don't want to touch the monuments at all, they say it's a historical matter, not a racial matter, that this is a part of our history and we ought to preserve our history as in the South as we would anywhere else. How do you respond to that?
Well, there are a couple of things. One, the historical record's not clear. These monuments were put up to honor a history that is in fact false. In my view, the idea of the lost cause, the idea of the noble lost cause, the selfless patriots of the South who organized and got in armies to fight back against Northern oppression, that's not true. These were people who were fighting to preserve an unjust system that brutalized a whole group of people basically for their bad luck to be born black and to be brought here. It's a racial apartheid system. This is nothing more than apartheid, and statues to it, in my view, are about similar to Germans putting up statues of the Waffen-SS and saying those are our heroes.
Well, commentators have pointed out that leaders of a losing military campaign of overt treason would ordinarily never receive the kind of public reverence Confederate heroes have gotten. Was it a mistake, do you think?
Oh, I absolutely think it's been a mistake. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting, I mean, you have to look at some other historical examples of, like, for example, how has Germany treated its excesses during its First World War, Second World War, and so on. I mean, these are not things that are celebrated. These things are things that are regretted, and they're not monuments to them. They're monuments to the victims. And if there ought to be monuments across the South, there ought to be monuments to the exploitation of African Americans and the system of unfree labor upon which Southern society was in large part built. I mean, there are enormous sins here which are not atoned for, and those are where the statues ought to be. So the idea that statues are somehow, you know, a distortion of history or taking down history, they're a mythology. It's like putting up statues of things that don't exist.
Pearson, I'm reticent to ask you the next question because I don't think I want to hear the answer to it. Do you see conservative religion reinforcing allegiance to the Confederacy?
You know, I don't know if I see it as reinforcing that directly. We still experience a great deal of segregation in our religious practices here, all across the United States. And typically churches are black or white and so on. And as congregations, you know, the current administration is moving towards trying to make it so that ministers can be ever more political, you know, specifically from the pulpit and so on. I mean, I can imagine a scenario in which there would be a minister proclaiming quite fervently that the Confederates died for God's cause and that our honor to them is honor to God. So I don't think we're there yet, but I certainly think that we're not that far away from that point. You know, religious practice and political practice have kind of been swept up, and all these things kind of merge together into a seamless ideology that justifies current practice, past oppression, and looks to a future in which, you know, whites are supremacists in the South again.
Where are students, the students that you come in contact with every day, how do they feel about this change of getting our history straight and putting up monuments that are about the best of America, not the worst?
You know, students are a little more critical than I think their elders. They're less likely to engage in that kind of ancestor hero worship, particularly students at the college level, are more likely to be exposed to courses that educate them about what really happened. I mean, I know for many students who take, say, history in the College of Liberal Arts, where I teach, or political science, and they really get exposed to, well, this is the reality of life in the South. Certainly when I taught Southern politics, a big part of what I taught was about, you know, the politics of race when students are really educated about what has actually happened, I think they're quite anti-statute. In general, though, students are pretty quiescent, particularly in the South. It goes with the culture. We are a deferential culture in some sense, a bit patriarchal, and those kinds of things are, you know, Southern-wide. They're not so much. But I have hope for the new generation.
Well, where does this whole thing go next? That's what I wanted to ask in conclusion. I mean, is it possible that real change will eventually come, or is the choice just either continue overt racism and hatred or having that hatred go back in the closet?
Well, the Southern thing has hung on way, 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 way longer than I would have thought, you know. But, I mean, demographic changes sweeping across the United States are going to change the face of America. But it may take the death of a couple of generations to affect those changes. So I am optimistic in the long run. In the short run, I think Mitch Landrieu gave that very, very powerful speech about the removal of the Confederate monuments. And he started talking about public space, and we need to find a way, you know, if we're going to put up statues, they should express who we are, you know,
yeah,
and our vision for the future. And so my sense is that, you know, we need to create kind of a positive space about the things that we do believe in common and the things that do unite us, not the things that divide us. And in that sense, you know, I think the next step forward for a city like New Orleans is to put up some monuments to the survivors of Katrina, to put up a monument to some of the heroes of the civil rights movement, to do some other kinds of things. It's not so much of saying, oh, these are our winners. It's about saying, this is who we are now.
Great answer. Dr. Pearson Cross is Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, where he also serves as the Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts. Pearson also hosts a weekly radio program. I've had the pleasure of being on it. That program is called Bayou to Beltway, which is available online. We'll link to it from stateofbelief.com. Pearson, it's always great to talk with you. I always learn something, and I always feel challenged. Thanks for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
It's my pleasure.